Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. Spirit of God, we ask you to please glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus in our lives. Glorify Jesus in Afecam. Glorify Jesus in your church. Glorify Jesus in this nation. Glorify Jesus in the world. Spirit of God, I depend on you. I rely on you. I ask you to please take over, take control of my lips. Let your utterance be my portion and my blessing. And may our ears tonight be anointed to hear. Let your name be glorified. Let Jesus be glorified. Let the Father be exalted. There is no one like you. We give you praise and glory. Take the first place in our lives. Take preeminence. Take dominion. Take what is rightfully yours. We enthrone you, Jesus, on the thrones of our hearts. We enthrone you. Reign in us and reign through us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You can have your seat. So I wanted to speak to you about living for the name. And like I announced on Wednesday or Thursday, the subtitle of my message is The Threefold Embrace. The Threefold Embrace. Living for the name entails embracing three things. Three things. The three things that you have to embrace. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want you to open your heart, open your mind, open your spirit, and follow me very keenly. The threefold embrace, living for the name, the threefold embrace. Before I get into it, let me just tell you the three things, so that if we don't finish the message, at least you heard them. The three things you have to embrace. You have to embrace the will of God. Embracing the will of God. Embracing the will of God. Second, you have to embrace the testimony of God. The testimony of God. And third, you have to embrace the ways of God. So three things. It's a threefold embrace. If you embrace these three things, you set your life, your destiny, and your walk with God on an unshakable foundation that is sure, or that is going to ensure that your life actually advances the kingdom of God. Because your life is pointless if it does not advance the kingdom of God. Pointless. Pointless. And so these three embraces are going to ensure that you don't miss the target. You must embrace the will of God. You must embrace the testimony of God. And you must embrace what? The ways of God. These are the three things that are most attacked in the current 21st century Christianity. The will of God is attacked, despised, never preached, never enforced, never talked about. The testimony of God is neglected, overlooked. And the ways of God are rejected. But those are the three things I want to call you to embrace tonight. The first embrace, the will of God. Somebody say, embracing the will of God. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I'll just read it quickly. 5, 14 and 15. This is the awesome scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, then all died. And that he died for all, that they who live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. This is very plain. There's much to cover. I wanted to read this because this is our key verse for this awesome. At least let me read it to you. I'm sure some of you have read it during the week, but okay. His love constrains us. His love constrains us, keeps us in a joint place of alignment. Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, I'm trying to remove the myth of the old King James. That's why when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you have not wanted, but a body you have prepared for me. You have prepared for me a what? A body. A body has thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. What is the purpose of the body? It is the will of God. You have prepared a body. You have prepared a body. God prepared a body. And the reason the body was prepared was for the will of God. Listen to me very carefully. You've heard me speak about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 many times. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. You've heard me talk about this. You've heard me mention how presenting your body is not yet even a spiritual service. It's a reasonable service. You are not yet a spiritual Christian when you keep your body in purity. You are just a reasonable Christian. This is a reasonable service. For those of you who have watched the video I did on staying sexually pure, I talk about it there. The word there is logikos, and it means logical. It's your logical service. You are a logical believer when you walk in purity sexually. You are just doing what is logical, according to heaven's economy, according to heaven's culture. You're not doing anything exceptional yet. It's you are in the logic of God. And nowadays, we live in a generation that wants to make you believe that what is just logical is extraordinary. One of the first things that happens to you, or that should happen to you, the day you really decide that you're going to be serious with God, is that how you treat your body and what you allow yourself to do with your body changes. And why is it so important? It's because your body is the container of God's purpose on earth. Can you imagine the whole Jesus left heaven and he says, Father God, you have prepared a body. So Jesus
in his pre-incarnate state, saw the plan of the Father preparing a body. And then he says, now word of God, go and enter there. You have prepared the body. And because you've prepared this body, here I come to do thy will. Listen to me. The only reason why you're still alive, as long as you are inside a body, you are here to do his will.
That's right.
When your life is not connected, engaged, committed, devoted to the advancement of his will, you enter the pointless zone of the kingdom of God. Like things that are just, you know, packed in one area, which are of no use. Listen to me. As long as you are in a body, always review your work. Review your businesses. Review your marriage. Review your academics. Review all your plans, all your projects, all your careers. If you can't create a link between those things and the will of God, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. If you can't find a connection, if the connection is not yet there, try to find it. Esther thought she was just making herself beautiful so that she would be picked by the king. And then her uncle one day reminded her, he said, hey, you are not here just to be, you were not sent here to just to collect the Grammys. You were not sent here to collect the popularity. You were not sent here just to make the money.
That's right.
He says, if you forget that you are here for the salvation of your people, when they begin to perish, you will be the first to perish.
Yes.
Wherever you find yourself, please, as long as you are in this body, find a connection with the purpose of God.
Amen.
That's why in Africa we preach purpose.
Yes.
When you're no longer doing the will of the Father, you no longer need a body. And there are people who have so much sold themselves to the will that God made their bodies indestructible until the time that he himself had appointed. You can't kill a man or a woman who is living for the will of God. You can collect a pistol and shoot a bullet at them. It will not penetrate them.
Yes.
As long as the Lord has not said, now come back. Nothing will happen to a man or a woman who is connected, sold out for the will. Many believers nowadays are looking for things in the wrong place. You're looking for protection in the wrong place. You want protection? Stop looking for it. Look for the will of God.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? I am telling you, the will of God has protected me. I've seen the will of God protect me in an empty road on Kumba, on my way to Assam Kumba. I saw the will of God keeping me in spite of my foolishness. I didn't want to rest. I had to reach Assam that night. Not having slept the previous day, I had to drive. As my wife said, rest. I said, I'm not resting. The two children fell asleep. My wife fell asleep. Me to the driver, I also fell asleep. But I'm telling you, the will of God. Then I say, I come to do thy will. That's what I'm coming here for. That's the purpose of me entering this body. If there is no will of God to do, there's no point coming into this body. And it also tells you why it is so important for you to keep your body. Yes. Because your body is the vehicle of God's will on the earth.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, whether you like it or not. How you treat your body affects your ability to fulfill God's will fully.
That's right.
Every time you mess up with your body, there are some things that are subtracted from the fulfillment of God's purpose for your life. That's why the Apostle Paul warned us. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, hey, be careful. Be very careful. Any sin that a man commits is outside of him. But the one who sins, the one who commits fornication, which is very rampant in 21st century church, there's very little difference between saved people, I mean, so-called saved people, and the unsaved people. Very little difference. And Paul said, he who commits fornication sins against what? Against his own flesh. Against his own self. What Paul is saying is, when you commit fornication, you bring missing your destiny, missing your target. You add, because the word sin is the word armasia. And armasia means miss your target. There are certain things that you were supposed to reach in life. You will miss them because you slept with a man for 5 minutes. Nonsense. Keep your body. Walking in sexual purity is politeness to God. It is courtesy. It is the least you. It is the least thing you have to offer your Lord. The least. You're not yet a hero.
Yeah.
It's the least thing you owe him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. I mean, Revelation 12, 10 to 11. The salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the ruling authority of Christ have now come. Because the accuser, listen to this, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the one who accuses them day and night before our God, has been thrown down. Verse 11, which we love quoting. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Full stop. But that's not where that verse ends. He says, and. So the overcoming was not just because of the first two. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much so that they were afraid to die. King James Bible says they did not love their lives even unto death. Listen to me, child of God. The world has penetrated you too much. You have the same pursuits, the same fears, the same passions. You're looking for the same meaningless popularity, with the same meaningless money, with the same. You're looking for the same meaningless followership on social media. And you can't pay the price of suffering for Christ if need be. Listen to me. Biblical Christianity is what I'm going to say now. Biblical Christianity. If they put a gun on your head and they say, this is your Jesus is fake, denounce him. You say, I will not denounce him. Boom, you die.
My God.
If you have not yet trained yourself to be at that place, please start that training today.
My God.
Biblical Christianity, They've not loved their lives even unto death. That they were afraid to die. As long as you are afraid to die, there is a dimension of the love of God that you are not yet experiencing.
That's right.
As long as you are afraid to die, not just dying physically, as long as you are afraid to die financially. You have to compromise. You have to do like everybody else. Because you have to pay the bills. Father, let me walk barefooted.
That's right. That's right.
If your walk, your earthly walk, which we addressed in the first part of my prologue, if your earthly walk isn't painful at times, let me tell you the truth, though. Your Christianity is not complete, though.
That's right.
When Paul said, we do not commend ourselves, but if they are apostles, I am even more so. And then he didn't begin to demonstrate his apostleship by his achievements. He began to demonstrate his apostleship by his struggles, by his sufferings, by his persecutions. He says, the apostles are, I am more of an apostle.
Yes.
I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked. In fasting, in hunger. You see, but in our modern day Christianity, are the apostles? I am even more. See the size of the church. See the cars in my parking lot. You see the things that the early apostles used as proof that they were men of God. Had nothing to do with material things. Paul advertised his greatness by the things he suffered because of Christ. He didn't preach it. His gospel was not suffering, but his gospel included the joy of suffering for Christ. Listen to me. Your life is for the will of God. You must embrace the will of God no matter what it will cost you. No matter what. For the will of God, we have said no to some monies. For the will of God, we have refused some jobs. For the will of God, we have endured hardship that we were not supposed to endure if we had not chosen the will of God over everything else. And we know God is a rewarder. But whether he rewards us here or after. In those days, we used to insist that that reward must happen here.
Yeah.
Whether it happens, he is the boss.
Yes, yes, right.
He's the boss.
Come on. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. Come on.
You must get delivered from the need to prove to anybody that God is even faithful to you.
Come on.
You don't have anything to prove.
My God.
And let me tell you something. God is very dangerous. Whenever you ask him to prove, he doesn't prove.
That's right.
Just leave him with his things.
Yes.
Prove to me that you are faithful. What, are you serious? Everybody in scripture who asked Jesus to prove something, he didn't do it. Show us that you are the Son of God. He said, the only sign I will show you is like the sign of Jonah. He said, no, do a miracle now to show us. Prove to me, Jesus. Prove to me. Listen to me. He is God all by himself. The man is loaded. He needs no approval. Only people who need approval have to prove some things. He does not need approval, so he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He does what he wants, the way he wants it. However he wants it. Whenever he wants it.
Come on.
God.
Stop asking God to prove you anything.
Oh, Father, Father, prove to my family that you are faithful. What are you talking about? Eh? The Bible says that he takes pleasure in the death of his... So what are you talking about? Somebody wants to call you and you are telling, prove to my family that you are faithful. And he says, okay, so you want me to deprive myself of my pleasure?
My God.
Do you think that God dies when you die as a... that the Father cries when you die as a saint? He will cry if you die unsaved because of the price his son paid. If you are saved and you die, he doesn't cry. He rejoices over the death of the saints. He says, Pascal, welcome. Welcome, my God, I'm happy. Kaliso Bataya. Father, prove to me. Are you serious? Living for the will of God, embracing the will of God, embracing the will of God. Look at what Jesus says. Listen to me. Jesus has never emphasized his identity over the will of God. Jesus lived for the will. He emphasized the will of the Father more than his identity. More. Because if your identity is not put at the service of God's will, it is meaningless. It is pointless. I found this scripture that really made me smile. I was like, oh Lord, look at how Jesus was passionate about fulfilling the will of the Father. John chapter 19, verse 28. John 19, verse 28. John 19, verse 28. What does it say? Listen, I mean, this thing is so funny to me. He says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Now, here, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he has finished giving his last instructions, you know, to John, to Mary, you know. So after this, he's hanging there on the cross. And he says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. He said, the work is finished. It's accomplished already. He says, knowing that all things were now accomplished, so that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I am thirsty. You see, so Jesus was not thirsty.
Yeah. That's right.
He was not thirsty.
Yeah,
but he searched and searched and searched. And he says, is there one last thing? Is there one? He wasn't bothered about his pain, the physical pain he was feeling on his head because of the crown of thorns and because of the nails that went through his hands and feet. He wasn't bothered about that pain as much as he was about, what more do I have to do for you, Father?
My God.
He says, so that the will of God, so that scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I am thirsty. So he didn't say, I'm thirsty because he was thirsty. He said, I am thirsty so that the will, the scripture, should be fulfilled. I'm thirsty. Oh, Jesus. Lord, help us tonight. Help us realign to your purpose, to your lordship. Some of you, Jesus is no longer Lord over your life. He's your Savior, but he's no longer your Lord. You have long expelled him from that seat. You've expelled him. He's been ejected from that seat in some of our lives. Take 30 seconds and say, Lord, please, I'm giving you back the throne. Please, Jesus. I thank you for being my Savior already. But Lord, tonight, help me by your Spirit to submit to your Lordship. Take back the throne of my life, of my heart. Take back the throne. Take back the throne in my relationships, in my finances. Take back the throne, Jesus. Be Lord. Be Lord indeed. Be Lord in all things that concern me. Be Lord over my time. My time, be Lord over my time. You see, when you can't pray, it's just a sign that Jesus is no longer Lord over your time. He came to his disciples and he says, could you not? He's asking, he's surprised. Could you not stay with me to pray for even 1 hour? Am I not important enough for you? Jesus, please, I give you lordship over my time. Be Lord, be Lord. In Jesus' name. In Philippians chapter 2, we are still under embracing the will of God, and we are closing with this one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, very important piece of scripture. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not to be equal with God. Like I said, Jesus did not emphasize his identity. He didn't emphasize his identity. He emphasized the will of God. And the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippians, let this mind, let this same kind, the same way that Jesus was, be like this. The kingdom of God is not about who you are. The kingdom of God is about what he wants. It's not even about who he has made you to be. It's about what he wants. So Paul said, hey, let this same mind, this same mentality, this same mindset, this same disposition be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery, meaning didn't think it was necessary to emphasize and claim it. He didn't think. He knew he was equal with the Father. But while he was down here on his earthly walk, he didn't go around telling everybody, do you know who I am? You know, it was never the emphasis. In every place, at every moment, he was looking out for one thing, the will. How can I do his will? Listen to me. Even though Jesus could do everything by himself, even while he was here, he decided. That's what the Bible says. Even though he was equal, he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, becoming obedient even to the point of death. Listen to me. Even while he was here, Jesus could do certain things without the Father. Because while down here, he was God. In fact, can I shock you a little bit? The word translated equal, as when the Bible says, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The word translated equal is the Greek word isos. And isos means similar in kind and quantity. So as Jesus was on earth here, he was the same as the Father in kind and quantity. Ah, okay. Meaning that everything God could feel, Jesus could feel. Every weight he could have on any situation and on any matter, any weight the Father can have, Jesus can have the same weight. Similar in kind and in quantity. That's why Colossians says that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead, heaven, bodily. But you know what? For the will of the Father, this man who was similar to God in kind and in quantity would go like this, a human being, a mere mortal, would slap him, bah, he does nothing. Insult him, he does not reply. Accuse him falsely, he doesn't defend himself. Why? For the will of the Father. He became obedient, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, embracing the will of God. Point number two, embracing the testimony of God. This one is very dangerous. Embracing the testimony of God. I love this one. Hey, Kali Tali Salu Baradi Kejazu Mendalia. Embracing the testimony of God. Listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 5, verse 31-34. John 5:31. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. Now, later on in John chapter 8, after he has explained his union with the Father and how he takes cues from the Father first, he now says, coming from that end, from that angle, from that vantage point, he now says in John chapter 8, it's 8 or 9, that the testimony I give of myself is true. And he gives the reason. Is it because I'm repeating, I'm just retestifying? So he knows the testimony of the Father. And so his testimony about himself becomes true only after he has received it from the Father. You know, he was establishing that relationship, okay? So Jesus embraced the testimony of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, he says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. And he says, there is another one who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is valid. Embrace the testimony of God. Verse 33, he says, you have sent messengers to John, and he has testified to the truth. Verse 35, I don't receive testimony from man. Jesus does not receive testimony from man. He waits for the testimony of the Father. This one is extremely dangerous. Listen to me. This thing is especially dangerous for us leaders, man of God. There is something dangerous about the testimony of men. I'm always very much afraid with the testimony of men. Not because there's something wrong with them, but because there may be something wrong with me. Listen to me. Don't allow men. And this is what kills a lot of preachers, a lot of leaders. Don't allow men to put you in a place where God has not put you yet. Jesus said, I don't receive testimony from men. Please, while I am just barely starting ministry, don't come and be telling me that I am the father of the African church. And I accept. You want to kill me? Don't come and be telling this brother that he's the greatest apostle of the last 50 years.
How old is he?
Listen to me. And you know our problem. We embrace the testimonies of men and sometimes cause their testimony to lead us into some places. There are some people who have accepted to sit on thrones in their churches because of the testimony of their church members. Listen, when you tell me how great I am, and I go inside the presence of the Father, I'm afraid of your testimony. Because the Lord knows the last instructions have not carried out. Listen to me. There are certain things that don't allow men to put you there when God has not put you there yet. For many years, I rejected the appellation daddy for me. Now, I know that in Africa we have papa. Papa, you know, when somebody papas you in Africa, it doesn't mean that you are a father. Like spiritual, no, it's just that it's part of African culture. Papa, papa, papa. Even though that culture too has to die.
Come on.
You hear what I'm saying?
Come on.
Just because somebody just became an alumnus, just joined the alumni, the person becomes a papa. What are you talking about? Are you serious? This person can still be pain in bed spiritually, and you are papa in him, mama in her.
My God.
What are you talking about? Allow this person to grow, because some of these testimonies can stifle the growth of people. Listen to me. From now on, embrace the testimony of God. Many years, there were people coming to me, Brother Ivan, I want you to be my spiritual father. I was still an ECF member. Very influential yet. But people were coming. I said, please don't kill me before my time.
That's right. Come on.
To many people for many years, I told them, please, I'm just going to be your elder sister. Your elder brother. If you need something, I can help you.
That's right.
And listen, by the way, some of you also get delivered. It is not because you have explained two scriptures to somebody that you have to start sonning and daughtering the person. It's not because you have helped the person with one situation about their lives that they have become your spiritual child. There are people who can call you, who can son you and daughter you by virtue of age and position in the church. Don't see an established man of God, even if he's not your pastor and he calls you my daughter. No, he has the right to call you like that because of his position as a leader in the body. But other than that, please, even you young pastors, forget about that thing. Don't die too early. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself too. Listen, wait for the testimony of God.
Amen.
I refused people calling me papa or daddy in me.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't stop, but I would always make sure I reject it vocally. I said, no, I refused it until the day the Lord himself told me, from now on, I want you to be a father figure to some of these, and I now allow you to accept some people to consider you as their spiritual father, the ones I will send to you. Not even everybody. The ones I will send to you. That's why I'm not impressed by some of your papa and daddy. Hey. You remember the prologue?
Yeah.
If I don't have the power to wash your feet.
Michael.
So I'm not moved being a nominal daddy.
Michael.
I'm not looking for spiritual children. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until the Lord authorized me. Because if you begin to allow yourself something that God has not authorized you,
yes,
you create an error in God's calculus of your destiny.
God.
Embrace the testimony of God. Listen, even when people tell you that you are already a superhero,
yeah,
and the Lord has not yet put you there, please.
Michael.
Accept that you are still a child. Yes. And say, Lord, help me to grow.
Thank you, Lord.
The only the one good thing that I like about the testimony of man is that it always sends me back to the place of prayer. Because when I discover that the testimony of man is above the current reality of my walk with God, I'm like, Lord, please. Lord, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
Let not these people be seeing me like this.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm a disappointment to you.
That's right.
And then sometimes too, the testimony of God can be so far ahead of the testimony of man. And that's the good place to be in. You want to always be in a place where the testimony of God is far bigger than what men say about you. God can know that here in Cameroon, there are not five like you. But nobody in Cameroon knows you. I like that one.
Yeah. Wow.
Rather than being the one who is popular and everybody knows your face on posters. And when God counts his people, you are not even in the reserve 500. I knew you not. In fact, there are some that God will say, I used to know you and I no longer know you. I have never known you. So you have been shooting your movie, your Nigerian movie, alone. I wasn't there right from the start. Embrace the testimony of God. What is the Lord's appreciation of your current life? Not your own appreciation. You can't trust that one. Not the appreciation of your pastor, of your friends. You are so amazing. Who told you we are so amazing? We are all amazing as creatures, as new creations. We are all amazing. So you don't need somebody to tell you you are amazing. Yes, we are all amazing. So when people begin to tell you you are amazing, it means that you have to really be amazing above all the amazing ones. Be careful with the testimony that you receive. Sometimes just say to people, thank you, but please. I have seen people being destroyed by the testimony of man. You see young pastors being destroyed by the testimony of man. There are two things that Jesus said he doesn't receive from men, their testimony and their honor.
Yeah.
Don't allow men to put you in a place of honor where God has not yet established you.
That's right.
You see a man that God allows to be having 10 bodyguards running around his car. You too, you also collect your small car. You bribe a couple of brethren in church to be running around your car when you arrive for that conference for people to think you are big. And then, even if you are not the one who does that, and the people want to do it for you, please run for your life.
Oh, yes.
If you have not received authorization and permission from the Father, if you have not received the Father's testimony, Please help yourself. Don't let them do certain things. In Acts, I believe, Acts chapter 14, Apostle Paul went somewhere with Silas. The guys manifested divinity. These people started worshiping him. They said, "No, Paul, Barnabas, you are Zeus. Paul, you are, what was the name of that other god?" They mentioned one other god like that. You know what Paul did? He says, "Please don't kill us before our time. We are still men like you. Please." Reject some honors until God forces you to receive them. Reject it with a passion.
That's right.
Until God says, "Hey, shut up." Aloud. Because it's a very dangerous place to be in.
That's right. Come on.
Being in a place where men praise you when God weeps over your case. Being in a place where you are celebrated on social media. You are a social media celebrity. And please, listen to me. Some of you here are called, you know, based on your fields and all of that. Some of you have to become, God wants some of you to become celebrities. Yes. But listen, if you lose sight of the will of the Father, becoming a celebrity will be a curse to you.
That's right.
It will be an indictment, because he will ask you, "I gave you that audience of 1 million people. What did you do for
yes.
me?
Yes.
How did you leverage that audience? That visibility, that celebrity status. How did you leverage that for the kingdom?" And lastly, recently, you know, one day, you know, I was meditating and God, the Father told me, never envy popular people, because popularity doesn't mean anything. And popularity is never a measure of success for God. It's not a measure of success, because some of the world's most popular people epitomize stupidity and baseness. So popularity doesn't mean anything in itself. But if you are granted access to it, leverage it for the kingdom. Embrace the destiny of God. I thank God for the part of God's testimony which is already written, the word, what he says about you. But that's not the only part of his testimony. God has a dynamic relationship with you. He has a dynamic relationship with you. There are things that if you're attentive, you will hear from the Spirit. He'll tell you, "Hey, my daughter, this dress, change it before you go out."
That's right.
"This person you wanted to go and meet, cancel that meeting." Finally, embracing the ways of God. Psalms 103 verse 7. Psalms 103 verse 7. Embracing the ways of God. So that's a threefold embrace. The will, the testimony, and the ways. Listen to me, when you have the testimony of God, you don't care what men say. You don't care. You do what you know you have to do. You do what you know God is leading you to do. I want to, I've been planning to start my YouTube channel soon. I was planning to start it in August because the Lord asked me to start coming out and releasing, you know, content and all of that. And these days I've been praying for God to deliver me from the desire for views. I say, God must deliver me from that thing completely first. I'm telling you. Because otherwise, the views become your focus, not the purpose, not what you wanted to achieve with the videos. And so when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you watch, how many more views? When you post it on Facebook, how many more likes? How many shares? Oh God. When I discovered that my heart was beginning to look for those things, I said, I said, Father, deliver me. If the Lord blesses with views, listen, do you know that the hand of God can come? If the God can just mean like that? All of a sudden, 1 million views.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. Lord, train my heart to long for your testimony more than the testimony of man. You see, when people click like, when they multiply the views, that's their testimony. And we become addicted to the testimony of men. Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Embracing the ways of God. We live in a generation that neglects the ways of God, that rejects the ways of God. But knowing God is knowing his ways, first and foremost. Not knowing his acts, his power, his demonstrations. Today we have large amounts of Christians, or so-called or supposed Christians, following acts of God and missing the knowledge of God. Listen to me. One of the things that has been most tempered within our generation are the ways of God. The average believer today rejects the ways of God in most of the very key aspects of life. We reject the ways of God. But how much you know God and make progress in the kingdom is directly proportionate to how much you embrace his ways. What are the ways of God concerning marriage? Concerning your husband? Like I told him in Summit Chan. The ways of God concerning husbands is that no matter what your wife does, you forgive. Full stop. Including adultery. I know it's a hard saying, but we are not experiencing the God results and the impact of God on the earth. Have you noticed that churches are full, but the impact of the church has reduced?
Yes.
Compared to the days of our fathers, of the Zack Fulmons, of the days when they were calling all these Christian churches cults, nyongo, sects. But the impact, the power of the church over the nations has dropped. Because our ability to judge nations is directly related to our embrace of the ways of God. We sever ourselves from our judging capacity when we stop walking in the ways of the Father. What are the ways of God concerning your wife? Submission. Young ladies nowadays, they refuse it. It's not that they first of all refuse it. Before they even try to understand it. They refuse it. They refuse it. They say, do you know what my husband is doing? Ah, really? Okay. We reject his ways. There is something that I want to drop in your spirit. You are never justified for not walking in the ways of God. Because someone else didn't. Never. Your responsibility to the work, to the ways of God, is between you and God. And it should not be tampered with by anything outside God and you. Do you know why it is difficult nowadays to believe for believers to walk in holiness? It is because they reject it. It's not that the thing is difficult. They reject. Do you know why you are still an angry person? It is because you reject the ways of God concerning that issue.
Yes.
James says, be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. For the anger of men does not fulfill the righteousness of God. What are the ways of God concerning those issues? What are you embracing? Nowadays, believers are embracing philosophies of the world. Believers are embracing psychology from the world. You know, I'm behaving like this because I was treated like this in my childhood. Are you serious? That one is good for psychology.
Yeah.
Many of you justify your current foolishness by the evil of some men in your psychologically, you are right, though.
Mm. My God.
But when you stand before the judge,
yeah,
you will be confronted with only one thing: his ways.
My God.
That's what you always have to remember whenever you are about to cheat on your wife because she cheated on you. Remember that you will not mention her action when God asks you that question. What he will bring to you is what he has told you.
Yes.
He said, I asked you to be faithful. Oh, I accepted that guy's proposal because my landlord was threatening to throw me out. Be thrown out.
Gosh.
Yes.
That's right.
Let him throw you out. In fact, you'll be saving money. In fact, God is even delivering you from debt.
That's right. Yeah.
Because maybe you would have still been bound to that man owing him money. Sometimes God wants to even help you. He causes this man to not forgive you any longer. Sends you out. All of a sudden, that debt of 500,000 you were owing him is wiped away. It is wiped away. Whatever the situation, embrace the ways of God. Embrace the ways of God. The ways of God are purity. The ways of God is when somebody hurts you, you do nothing. It may seem foolish to you, but His ways are higher than ours. That's why our Christianity has become weak and void of power and impact. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to renew your vows with Jesus. Renew your vows with Him. Renew your tell Him that you want to reconnect to His will. You want to reconnect to His testimony. You want to reconnect to His ways. His ways are purity. His ways are no sex before marriage. Full stop. Not sex, not no sex until engagement. Some of you are not walking in His ways because you've rejected them. You've believed the lies of the world. No matter what has happened until this evening, may the Lord forgive us for all our disobedience until now, for all the areas in which we have fallen. But please, tonight, start a new chapter of your life, of your walk with God. Make up your mind. Father, I'm embracing your ways concerning how to keep my body. I am embracing your ways, O Lord. I will wait. The ways of God are, I am saved, I don't get married to an unsaved person. For what fellowship do light have with darkness? Those are the simple things of Christianity that we are rejecting. Sister, I was already under pressure, I'm already 35, I'm already 38, and so what? You must value the ways above your own happiness. Stop thinking that staying single is a punishment. The devil is a liar. It's not a punishment. And marrying is not an achievement. Because even stupid women marry. The fact that you're not married doesn't mean you've not achieved. There's something you are still to achieve in life. Achievement is the way of God, the will of God, and the testimony of God. Deliver yourself from some of the pressures you've placed on yourself. Some of the pressures. Sometimes you get into compromise. Because you see your friends who are your age, you call them your age mates, and you think about the cars they're already driving, the homes they're already building, the children they're already having. Listen, only one testimony matters. It is the testimony of the Father. That testimony that will tell you, my daughter, I am proud of you. My daughter, I love you. My daughter, you are my precious jewel. Lord, I embrace your meal tonight. I can't do it by my own strength, but I ask you to help me by your Spirit. Let your will prevail in my life. Let me live. Teach me by your Spirit. Teach me to live for your will, for your purpose. Teach me, Lord, to care for nothing else than your testimony. Lord, may I not be swayed and impressed and discouraged or deceived by the testimony of men, by the testimony of my age, by the testimony of my country, by the testimony of my nation, my continent. Oh, Lord, help me train my heart to be addicted only to your testimony. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. And Lord, I reconnect with your ways. I reconnect with your ways, Lord. Even when your ways seem foolish to me, even when I don't understand, help me. Give me the grace to follow and obey. I yield myself to you. Some of you need to dedicate. Some of you have given your life to Christ, but you've not given your body to Christ. I want you to dedicate this body, to submit this body. Paul says, present it as a living sacrifice. Present this body as a living sacrifice. Let this body be a living sacrifice unto you, O Lord. Let this body be a living sacrifice to you. I dedicate my body to you tonight, Lord. And I receive grace and strength to not let anybody touch it who is not my wife or my husband. I dedicate myself. Oh Lord, may my life be useful in your hand. May my life be useful, oh Lord. May my life be useful to you. May my life be useful to the kingdom. Forgive me for this selfish living. Forgive me for all selfish pursuits. Help me. Prune me. Lord, prune every project. Everything I was doing just for myself, just for the fame, just for the money, just for the benefits, just for the earthly advantages. Lord, please, please circumcise every dream, every project, every ambition. Let all those projects become tools in your hand, O Lord. Tools in your hand. Show me, Lord, how to transform that business into a kingdom tool. Use me. Show me, Father, how to transform that project into a kingdom tool. Show me, Father. Help me. I give myself away. Oh, Lord. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. Mm-hmm. I give myself away. So you can.